You know, God has done so many things in my life. I am so blessed. My wife and I, my family, we are so blessed. And just in life, not it doesn't have anything to do with monetary things, just family. You know, my sister-in-law over there, Judy, don't claim her real often, but it was just years ago, Judy came from a meeting one time in San Antonio, came home and just had to come tell us about Jesus and what she'd seen God do. And I mean, just years and years ago, and my Bill and Pat over there sending me little books when Joseph was first born and was sick and the doctors wanted to operate and saw God do a miracle. And, you know, just little things in life. And I want to tell you something. This last week, when we were in Guatemala, and we were down there and with Will Borland, and this is the most amazing thing, and I don't think Sunday he gave it justice. And we were just standing there. You got to understand, there's 70 people on the job site, people coming up to Ivan all the time, talking to him, Kimberly, wanting to talk to him and say hello and whatever. And I'm just standing right there, and Will comes walking up, and I said, yeah, I just want y'all to, this is Will Borland, he goes to our church here, and this is Ivan and Kimberly. Of course, you'd met Ivan, but this is his wife, Kimberly Tate, and whatever. And this is Will Borland. I said it just like that. Just one time, this is Will Borland. Hi, how are you doing? People comes up, goes on, somebody's calling, hey, thanks. Well, I mean, it was literally just that much, Skip, was all that was said. And then later that evening, we get through eating, and they said, why don't y'all come up top and let's visit, because the little apartment we've made up there for guests to stay in, and they were staying in it, and we're sitting there, and conversation. We're just talking about things of God, talking about all stuff. And all of a sudden, Kimberly just looks at Will and said, would you by any chance know a Gene Borland that lived in Temple? And I'm just thinking, what? No. And I was just waiting for Will to say, no, I don't know anybody about that. He says, his old bottom jaw just kind of drops and quivers. And he says, well, that's my father. And then Ivan and Kimberly just went, what? What? Well, you can't mean his wife's name was Burl, and he says, you can't believe me, Burl and Gene, you're their son, whatever. And he and Will's sitting there like, yeah. And he's like, how do y'all know? He said, when we pastored in Temple for 11 years, they were in our church. They're greatest people in the world. We love them. We had the most deepest relationship with them. We loved them. And while we're sitting there, I get God bumps on me an inch thick. Because I'm thinking, holy cow, look what God has done here. He's taken the prayers of a father, prayed over a son who wasn't really living for God. And I don't know what he prayed. I don't know his words, the verbiage he prayed. But you can bet he prayed, Lord, I ask that somehow or another my son can get connected with Ivan Tate and serve Jesus. Because you see, Ivan pastored for 11 years, but he traveled out of the church every month, and he built churches and stuff and orphanages and, well, not orphanages, but churches and Bible schools and stuff like that all over the world during those 11 years he was pastoring. And kind of found out they're just the greatest friends and loved them, and they're just supported the church, and it was just the greatest thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, what did you have to pull off, to make this moment happen? And, he started not to come. Will started not to come. And there's just so many things that could have happened to have hindered that moment from happening. But how God answered a prayer. And, I'll tell you something, church. It got me to thinking about how many prayers we have prayed, how many prayers we've given up on, how many things that we have spoken and asked Jesus for and did not see it happen, that we just thought, oh, how could it happen? It's not going to give up. And here his father's going ahead and gone on to be with the Lord and, didn't even get to see the prayer answered on earth. And so that got me to thinking, and I went to doing some looking and doing some studying and doing some things, and I want to share something with you, okay, here tonight. Let's go into the Old Testament. And let's go to the book of Numbers. Did I say Numbers? Don't go to the book of Numbers. Go to the book of Joshua. And I want to show you something. I want to show you, first of all, a man who also had success in the Old Testament with seeing a prayer come about. And then I want to show you what I think the Lord dropped in my heart is the key to seeing your prayers come about. Okay? So here we go. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. It says, "Now the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord had said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" Now, right there's the first key. If you want to see your prayers answered, you want to see and have confidence to know that God is going to answer what you prayed, you have to know what the word of the Lord is. You cannot pray something that is not the will of God. Okay? You cannot pray for something that is not the will of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it the will of God that everyone be saved? Right? So then, right off the bat, you can have full confidence in knowing that the relative, the loved one, the whoever you're praying for, it is God's will that they know him and they get saved. So you can take total and full confidence that God wants them saved. There's no way that there ever that could be that God says, nah, everybody but them. Right? No matter what a rat faced dog they may be. Huh? Right? No matter how sorry they could be in life, you have to know that, yeah, it may in the natural look more difficult for that person to come to the Lord, but it's not that difficult for God because it's his will. And if God wills it, it's so. So Caleb said, listen to me. He went to Joshua and said, hey, you know what the word of the Lord was when he spoke about you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Right? So he's got full confidence. And what's going on? Let's read on. He said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." Second thing right there you got to understand about having your prayers answered is what's in your heart? Your heart is the pumping device of blood through your system, which causes you to live, but it's also the pumping device of faith within your life that keeps you able to continue to go on in life when there may be some restrictions. He said, "I spoke what was in my heart. I spoke exactly what was in my heart." He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up to me, with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So listen to me. This means that no matter what's in your heart, there's going to be times and God's going to come in. I mean, there's going to be times that what God has put within your heart, that man is going to want to melt it out of you. This world and this world system is going to want to melt it out of you. This world, man, this is a fallen world we live in, folks. This is not heaven. This is the fallen side that we live in. It's not going to be right, and it's not going to be pretty. And its whole axis that it rotates on is to get you to not believe God's word. The devil works to form churches to get you in doubt. The devil goes to extreme measures to cause people to come across your path and situations to happen in your life to cause you to doubt, because he knows if he can get you to doubt that you will not walk in faith, your heart will not pump faith, and you will get in doubt, and therefore the promise of God's word will not happen in your life. So every day there's a war between you and this world, and it's trying to steal your faith. Right? So he said, look, I held on to what was happening. If you want to see your prayers answered, you've got to hold on to what God's saying and what God's word is. You cannot let this world steal it from you, no matter what. You have to hang on to it. So Moses swore all that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. Now listen to what he said. Look at verse 9 again. So Moses swore that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance. Because God said, every place that the sole of your foot goes is yours. All right? Hang on to this. Remember that. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he has said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Now, I just caught this in reading this time, after all these years of reading this story. I just caught that this was his birthday. I went and looked at it. He says, this day I'm 85 years old. It was his birthday. So on his birthday, he wanted his present, the place where his foot tread on, because God said every place that your foot will tread upon is yours. So they're giving out the inheritance. It's Caleb's birthday, and he's saying, I want my birthday present from the Lord. He said where my foot goes is mine. It's what I promised. I've wholly followed him. I've waited on it 45 years, and it's time for my present. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day that the Anakim were there, and that all those cities of the great were fortified. And it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, Caleb went with a specific purpose for this place, which is actually Hebron, okay, or Hebron. And he went there, and it was a place where the giants dwelt. So let's go back 45 years and think about his mentality here. 45 years earlier, he goes into the promised land, he's spying it out, and I don't know. I don't know how he goes out. I don't know exactly. You just got to let Pastor paint with a broad brush tonight, because I don't know how it all worked. But apparently the 12 must have gone into the land, and they dispersed in 12 different directions, is what I'm having to assume from this. They all didn't necessarily go and pack one pack of 12 all the way around. Because if they would have, somebody else would have had claim to that land. But Caleb went by divine direction, we can say, and he came up to the mountain where the giants dwelt. Now just get the thinking of this. In the book of Numbers, I believe it's 16, you can look in there and it says that Caleb, Joshua both had a different spirit in them. Now, when anybody else looked at the city of the giants, they were like, oh, man, it's the city of the giants. Get out of here before one of them sees them big boys that kill us. But when Caleb looked at the city of the giants, he said, every place that the foot of my soul treads is mine. I'm going to go sneak around that city and leave my footprints. Y'all got me? Is that not what happened? So here he went. How about not? It's all mine. It's going to be mine. So he went around the whole city, sneaking, maybe from bush to bush. I don't know how he did it. And everywhere he's going and everywhere he's sneaking, he has confidence that his foot went on it, so it's going to be his someday. Listen to me. God will give you everything that you'll walk in. But if you're not willing to walk in it, he ain't going to give it to you. Too many times people sit around waiting for God to do something and then they'll go do it. But God says, no, 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 you get out there and you put your footprints around it and you walk in it and then I'll give it to you. And Caleb, then he walks around it, he puts his footprints around it, he goes all around it, puts his footprints around it, and then another 40 years passes. Now he's 85 years old and it's his birthday. And I don't know, I think if you're 85 years old and you've been waiting for 40 years, you can just about do whatever you want to. So it's his birthday, and he just walks up there and says, I want my inheritance. The last one's died off. We come into the promised land. I've been waiting patiently all these years, but my patience is done wore out. And that city is mine. Y'all with me? Faith, confidence, knowing what God said, waiting on it every day. You know, folks, I've given up on things a lot sooner than that. I will admit it. I have given up on things lots sooner than waiting 40 years patiently. Haven't we all? Haven't we all? We all wanted God to do something. We all wanted God to make the flash of light, the meteor streaks across the sky, and then everything just happens after that. We've all wanted him to do it, but, you know, patiently walking in what God said, staying on his promise, getting up every morning saying, God, I just declare, I just thank you, Lord, that your word says that every place my foot would tread is mine, and so bless God, it's mine. It's mine, Lord. You said it. It's mine. I'm going to walk in it. I am not going to look like it's going to be today because I see old so-and-so still alive over there, and he had sucker God to die before I get my inheritance, but he's still alive. So ain't going to be today, Lord, but soon and very soon, I'm going to get my inheritance. You with me? Okay. Let's read on a little bit further here. So he says, so Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb and the sons of Jephunneh, and there's an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb and his sons, the Kenzanite, who wholly followed the Lord. So the story goes on. I don't want to go on into it, but the story goes on, you know. Caleb charges up the side of the hill, takes the city, kills all the giants, takes it, and it's his. Right? So it's not about how old you are. It's about how much you're going to believe God. Right? Doesn't have anything to do with your physical abilities. All it has to do with what you're going to walk in. Right? Now, how do you think he did it? Now, this is what I want to go to. This is part two. Because it takes a lot to do that. Now go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show you something here that you may have read. You may know it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And would you put it in the King James Version if you can switch it over there. Is it possible? You're awesome. Now, I had to go back there and just look in the bookstore right quick to make sure, because I was a little confused because I was looking and studying this message out of a King James Bible, and then I have my New King James with me tonight, and my New King James says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I was confused why did it say one another, because my King James says, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and so I went in there right quick and looked in the Strong's Exhaustive Quarters. By the way, you need to order those. They keep some of them back there because if we sell it, then pastor's out of luck. Need more than one in there. There's only one left. But I went back to look at the word, and it's funny because the word that's used in the Greek right there, when it says speaking to yourselves, that word actually, depending on how the conjugation is and what the meaning is, could mean yourselves, and it also can mean one another. It can mean thyself and theirself, and it goes both ways. And I don't even understand how that works, okay? But anyway, I'm preaching it yourselves tonight. And if you want to do theirselves or one another, that's fine with me too. Go ahead and knock yourself out. Nothing wrong with it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Back up a few verses. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18 says, do not be drunk in wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. So talking to yourself doesn't mean you're crazy. Authority in the scripture says you can talk to yourself, and you need to talk to yourself, And that doesn't mean you're going crazy. Sometimes Laura hollers at me, "Are you talking to me?" in the house. And I'll say, "No." Because I'll just be in there talking to myself. Is that right? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in heart. Sometimes my songs aren't too pretty. Sometimes my songs are, you know, "Lord, woe is me." I'm singing a psalm now, you know, close to a poem. Say, "Lord, woe is me. My heart is heavy laden. Many trials and afflictions have come upon me today, Lord." But Jesus, I thank you that you're my Redeemer. The last word has not been spoken, and I'm going to see victory. You see, you got to talk to yourself. I believe with all of my heart that Caleb talked to himself. I believe that he spoke to himself and talked to himself and said, you know, he would make himself happy. I believe he had marched around his tent, making little footprints in the sand, saying, "Ooh, every place my foot treads is mine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on now. Come on, folks, get out of here and let's do a little dance," you know. He'd take everybody around the tent. "We're going to walk in victory. Oh, you're not over there. You're going to die in misery, but we're going to walk in victory. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." Right? Because it said he was of a different spirit. And if you're going to be that kind of person, it takes being a different spirit, because the word that everybody else wants to speak is, "What is happening?" Right? I believe we need to be informed in life. We need to know what's happening, but we don't speak what's happening. Right? If you speak what's happening, you're just going to get depressed. The Bible says anxiety comes from a discouraged heart on the inside of you. Or depression comes from an anxious heart, or however you want to flip that. You get discouraged in life because your heart gets heavy. And your heart gets heavy because of what your ears hear. And see, this goes back to the story I was telling earlier about Will. When I saw that happen, it hit me. Wow, God. I just literally saw the manifest answered prayer of a man. I got to see it with my own eyes. I was sitting there. I didn't hear the testimony. I saw it right here. I saw the jaw drop. I saw the word. I saw the excitement. I saw it. Oh my gosh, I just saw an answered prayer. And it just gave me the willies thinking about, golly, what if? I mean, it's like, it was so funny because it was like, man, I'd have thought it was more important to Will to come if I didn't know this was going to happen. Lord, you should have told me. I'd have gone to him and said, "You need to go. I'm telling you, you need to go. The word of the Lord said to me, you need to go. I don't know. There's something special done. You better get there." Right? Wasn't that what we would have wanted to do? And we'd have messed it up. And then it just happened in front of me, like with no effort, just, and I'm like, whoa. I mean, it just freaked me out. I mean, I just got God bumps all over me. I was like, whoa, that is freaky. I mean, as if I'd have seen a healing happen, it just hit me because I just thought of, what do you think? How many maneuvers did God take on the chessboard of life to get that moment to happen? I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a lot of years a man prayed for his son. A lot of moves. And then it just happened in front of me. And I saw it and I was like, oh, this is weird. This is Twilight Zone. Matter of fact, I hit Laura and I went, "Ooh, Twilight Zone kind of stuff here, man. We've now entered the God Zone." I mean, I kind of had to thump myself. Okay, yeah, I am awake. Okay. We take so much for granted. We take so much for granted in life. The things that we've prayed about, that we've forgotten about, that God didn't forget about, that he already brought about, that we didn't even notice, and then we get on down the road and think, wait a minute. That happened back there. I believe the only way to walking that and have any victory in it is you got to learn to speak to yourself. Now, some of us say, well, we're not much singers. We don't like to sing, you know, whatever. Can I just tell y'all a little secret? Now, this will tell you how weird Pastor really is. I know a lot of songs. I know a lot of church songs. One time I figured out that in 1 year when I used to lead praise and worship, that we sang 3,000 different songs. Okay? In 1 year. 3,000 different songs. And I could sing them all, play them all. You just get it, you just do that as well. But what is so amazing to me, and you know, I hate to confess this, but I'm real. I can turn on the old country station out of Hondo that plays this old music, the real what's country and western. And it'll play, and I'll know every song on there that I have not heard in 30 years and can sing every word of it. The other day, this song, this y'all know something. Big diamonds, big blue diamonds, how they sparkle. How many of y'all know that song? See, y'all don't know. Dance all sinners like me. I have not heard that song for 30 years. Could sing every song, every word of the song. I mean, they get into some old stuff and it pops out of my head. And I'm like, how could that have still been logged in my memory banks? Y'all with me? Y'all had this happen to you? I mean, I have not listened to that music in forever. And I just found that station, listened to it. And every once in a while, I flip the radio on over there and it comes on and there's a song. And I'll know it. And I'm just like, how is it? Wait a minute. If that's what can happen within your intellect, your soul, your whatever, that kind of memory can stand and lay dormant for 30 years and then pop up and you know it, what would happen if we began to take songs and hymns and songs that, whether they're hymns that you know or songs that you make up? Now, I can't do it just off the top of my head right now, but if you get me in the truck right down the road, just right, I'll get you a godly song to Big Blue Diamonds. I'll just make it up right there. Big diamonds, big blue diamonds, oh, how they await me in heaven, in my mansion of gold. One day I'll walk those streets with you, Jesus. Dun, dun, dun. And we'll sing of all the wonders that are known. Ba-da-da-da-dum. I can do it. Any, give me a song. I'll make up one. Point is, maybe that's not your taste. Find your taste. I can do opera, too. It's not near as pretty, but I can do opera, too. I can do rap. I can do the African drum deal, too, and get into that, man. I can do the Watusi war dance. The point is you do it because you're following what the still says. It says, sing it to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Right? Why? Because it's the will of God that you keep on your lips and in your heart and coming out of your mouth, God's song of victory for you. And that's how Caleb walked through it. And that's how he got the mountain that he had walked around, Not because he asked Jesus to do it, because he did something about it. He walked it. He wholly followed the Lord in it. He knew what the will of the Lord was. And then he kept reminding himself of what God said. And by doing that, he had victory. Amen. So I don't know what your mountain is. I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what the mountain is in your life. What you're believing God for, what you've walked around. Maybe you hadn't walked around anything. Well, it's time to start walking around some things. Had a lady one time tell me, she said, I need you to pray for me, Pastor. This is a true story. She said, I got a car. That thing is the worst car in the world. It won't ever run. She said, the only way I can get that car to run is I have to walk around it 7 times, speaking to it, and then it'll start. And I said, well, what's the matter? He said, well, I don't know. Just won't start. I said, you won't start at all. Like you get in, you turn it, it won't start. She said, yeah, it's like the battery's dead. Won't start. And I said, well, why don't you just go to Walmart and buy a battery and put in the car, and then maybe it'll start. And she said, well, I just got to where it's just a habit. I just got to go out there and plan enough time. If I just walk around it 7 times and speak to that car, it'll start every time. And I said, you know, just keep doing it. Don't listen to me. Just keep doing it. If your car starts like that, you have faith in it, it starts like that. Just enjoy yourself walking around your car 7 times. I don't care how you do it. Just give God the glory and go on. You got to find whatever you're going to do, whatever your mountain may be in life, whatever you're willing to walk around, whatever you're going to speak over, your family. Listen, take your children's pictures, put them on the floor and walk around them. I guess you don't have to put them on the floor. You can put them on a table in the middle of the house and walk around it. You have to put them on the floor. Then you have to bend down. That hurts too much. You don't want to bend down and pick a thing up. Right? Just put them on the table. Put them on the table. Walk around your kitchen table. Pray over them. Say, Lord, that's your will. You said every place I put my foot around is mine. It's my kids. It's your will that everybody be saved. It's your will that everybody live for you. Jesus, and bless God. I just declare it over them right now. Whoa! Come on now. Walk around it. Sing the Watusi war song as you're going through. Man, your finances are terrible. Put your wallet down on the table. Walk around the thing. Say, no, Lord, you said it's your will that all. Third John 1 says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. So, Lord, I declare it's your will for us to prosper. Walk around that thing and say, Lord, I thank you. You said my foot tread around it. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. You don't have to walk around it every day. You just got to walk around it once so you know you walk around it. He said, oh, that's just silly, Pastor. I don't know. That's extreme. That's kind of charismatic. My word to that would be, how's the other working for you? I said that to a guy in jail one time. He was sitting in there and he told me, I don't believe in God, don't believe in church, don't like preachers. I said, really? I said, well, how's that working for you? And he started to say something. He just hit him. He said, well, apparently not too good, is it? I said, no, if I was you, I'd try something else. You know, that day he gave his heart to the Lord. And I don't know where he is now, but at least he tried, started a new day. I mean, you know, we can talk about, yeah, that didn't. How do you know? What does it take to build the confidence on the inside of you, the faith on the inside of you? What does it take? What you know, you say, well, I can't sing. Well, then sing up, make a poem. Do something. Keep it rehearsing out of your mouth. Remember Joshua, when he told Joshua what he told him? He said, man, you got to meditate upon this. Dwell on it. And that word meditate means to mutter, to speak out. It's not crazy to speak to yourself. And I want to tell you something. Then, I don't know what will happen. I don't know how. I can't tell you how it will come about. That's not for me to know. But your day will come. Your birthday will come. And your present will be there. And you'll storm up your mountain, and your giants will run away, And everything that God's word has promised you will be yours. Amen? Amen. So get some speaking going tonight. You know, I want to tell you something. Can I say one more thing? You know, it's kind of, you guys talk about, you know, I think the thing is that we get embarrassed. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't want Laura to see me pray because I was just kind of nervous about praying in front of her. And I was just kind of, you know, it's kind of, you just got to go crazy. The way you got to do it to break that deal is just both of you just be foolish. How could I mean, if I was going to sing a song, what am I going to do with her? You want to talk about some intimidation now. I said, well, sing a song. And she gets on the piano and starts singing. It's like, okay, I don't really want to sing. Yeah. All I'm saying is you got to be, in order to break that down in your life and in your marriage, you've got to just jump into the middle of it. Something you both believe in, and you just jump into the middle of it. You say, well, I can't. I mean, Pastor, I just can't go walk around my table. That just doesn't make any sense, doing something like that. I just can't do that. Well, you're just intimidated. Don't let the devil intimidate you about nothing. Throw the thing down, and I'm telling you, if you go wild for God, then it destroys that other, and then you can bring it back. Right? And then every now and then, if you get kind of too stagnant in there, you got to go wild again to shake it off of you to bring it back. But I mean, my wife can tell you, I'm in there. I'm talking to myself all the time, so talking around hurts. You know, I'm whatever, man. I'm just, whoa. It's the only way I can keep sane. I'd go crazy. I was talking to somebody the other day. They're telling me about this pastor and that he had some kind of a mental breakdown. I said, amen. The person said, excuse me? I said, nothing. I'm just praying for the guy. I know what he's going through. Mental breakdown. If I wouldn't talk to myself all the time, I'd be going crazy too. And that wasn't even the conversation, you know. And they was like, okay, Robert, you know. So no, just side note there, side thought. I said a side thought. I was just talking about it. Amen? So let's tear down some walls. Let's get some things going. Get some mountains conquered. Amen?